Welcome to Session 4 in Mastering the Art of Follow-Through. Now in this session, I'll be sharing with you ways that we can maintain our focus and how to identify the real reasons why we get off of focus. I will also be telling you how to use imaginary motivation to help you keep a follow-through attitude. Additionally, I'm going to talk about what perhaps is the number one pitfall that many people use in trying to help others reach their goals, which really doesn't work. Now, if you're a type of person who mentors or coaches others, you might be teaching them wrong, so you'll want to pay special attention to this particular session. Remember, when you hear this beep, it means that we're going from the call back here live into the studio. So now let's listen in on our fourth week.
Once again, I am just totally flattered and humbled by all the people from all over the world. We've got some from New Zealand, and of course there's Australia again, and England, Hawaii, everywhere. And again, thank you so much for the time that you're going to take with me, and I hope I'll do my very best again so you don't walk away disappointed. We're going to go briefly over some of the information that we discussed last week. Last week, we focused on actually getting started in the goal-setting process. We spoke about how important it was to have a step-by-step plan, and when we talked about this step-by-step plan, we also included the importance of having sub-goals or sub-parts to our goals. So hopefully you understood that, and you know how to create that goal, have that ultimate goal, and then set up sub-part goals toward that. We're at the point where we've kind of identified some of our goals. We have broken down some of the steps, some of the things that we have to do as we now work toward those goals. The next thing that we have to be careful of is what we're about to discuss today. And hopefully you've got your information downloaded that you can have in front of you. And we're going to start now with session 4. Here we go. What we have to do now is identify the things that you do, fill in the blank there. We have to identify the things that you do to show that you are getting off of focus. Identify the things that you do to show that you are getting off of focus. If the individual in charge of recording this is online with us, if you could see what you could do about eliminating those beeps for us, I'd appreciate that. Why is this important? Why do we need to figure out how we get off of focus? The reason we need to know this answer is because, unfortunately, many of us, myself included at times, we get off of focus and don't even realize that we're doing it. If you don't realize that you're doing it, you're going to get that much further off of focus, and it's going to take that much longer for you to attain your goals. Ever been in a boat before that started drifting? And you didn't realize it because it just started drifting slowly and slowly. And before you know it, you're far away from the shore because it happens gradually. But when you start to realize where you're at, oh my goodness, the time, the investment of your time and the effort now that it's going to take for you to go back to where you were, it's really gotten you off of focus. So that's why it's so important to analyze what causes us to get off of focus. In our office, we call it kitty, kitty, kitty. Here's what I mean by that. You ever seen a kitty cat playing? You get this little kitten, and you get a little string, and you play with that string right in front of that kitty, and that kitty just goes crazy over it. Then you take the same string, and you move it 1 foot or 5 feet away from that kitty, and what does the kitty do? It goes right after it. And then you take it, and you move it 5 feet on the other side, and what does the kitty do? It goes right after it. You can do anything to distract the little kitten. They can't stay focused. You go kitty, 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 the kitty cat goes over here. You go over here and go kitty, 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 the kitty cat goes over there. Are you like that? Are you so easily distracted that when you get on the computer, you just go on and on and on and on, and you go deeper and deeper and deeper into the internet and the cyber world there, and before you know it, you're completely off of focus. You forgot the real reason that you wanted to get on the internet anyway. Or you get into a conversation, and it just goes on and on and on and on. Or maybe one of the kids act up a little bit. And instead of just taking care of the problem, which normally would take you just a few minutes, it gets deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. So what do you do to show that you're getting off of focus? I'd like you to really take some time to do this because it's very, very important. I think everybody needs to know the specific things that they do to identify that, hey, I'm getting off of focus here. I also use this not just for specific goals, but I also use this for life in general. There are certain things that I do that I know that kind of gets me off of track mentally. So I know what they are, and I try to do the opposite. For example, let me share with you just personally some of the things that I make sure I do that keeps me on track mentally. When I go to work and drive in my car, to and from work, I listen to nothing. I do not listen to the radio. I don't have anything on. I talk to no one because, of course, I'm by myself, but I don't listen to the radio. Why? That gives me time to think. I mentally melt down, if you will. That's my time to think. Another thing that I do in the morning when I wake up, I used to have the habit of immediately turning on the TV. But when the TV is on, I can't really think. So what do? Now the TV is off. Especially on the weekends, I used to have the habit right away, get up Saturday or Sunday morning if I'm home and not traveling, boom, what do? Turn the TV on. Now I turn it off, leave it off. And what that does, it just helps me get my head together. It's just one less mental distraction. When I'm at home with my wife, the TV is off. If we don't have anything to talk about, we make up something. Something comes up anyway, and we have good interaction without the TV. Little things. You need to know what the things are that cause you to get off of focus on your specific goals, some of the goals that you're going to be using this information for, and also, what about just life in general? What are some of the things that you do to get off of focus when it comes to life in general? Do you constantly focus on just paying the bills day in and day out, chasing that paycheck just to pay those bills every single week? Look for ways that you get off of focus. Identify them. Now, once you've got them identified, what do? The key now is to know what they are. Perhaps put them in front of you, write them on a big piece of paper right in front of you, and every time you get off of focus, the next thing to do is acknowledge it. Say, wait a minute, here I am, I'm off of focus. If I continue to do this, I'm not going to be able to attain my goals, or at least I'm not going to be able to attain them in time.
On your page 1 in session 4, you'll see where to complete this exercise if you already haven't gone there. We'll do that soon. I'd like to really emphasize, though, the importance of doing this exercise and why we really need to know what causes each one of us individually to get off of focus. Stop and think about it. It takes a specific amount of time and a specific amount of action steps that we have to follow through on to attain specific goals. Now, if I said to you, think about any goal that you would like to attain. Would you like to reach that dream in a third to a half the amount of time that it would normally take? I think most would say yes. Now, if you said yes, stop for a moment and think about what you're saying yes to. You're saying yes to the idea that you would like to attain your goals in a third to a half the amount of time. This just doesn't happen by chance. It's calculated. It's planned out. So how do we do it? We must maximize our time. So if we're going to spend 2 hours working on a goal, let's make those 2 hours really count. If you're not taking consistent action toward your goals, you're doing something else with that time. What is a something else? Whatever you're going to write down on this first exercise. So let's say there's a specific goal that you worked really hard on and you were able to accomplish it, let's say in a year. To accomplish this goal, we'll say it took 500 specific action steps to make it a reality. These action steps could include, of course, it's going to depend on what the goal was, maybe meeting certain people, talking to different contacts, phone calls, planning strategies. If it's losing weight, maybe it's a certain amount of time you're going to exercise, manage your meals, whatever. My question is, though, could it be possible that we could have followed through on those 500 action steps in 10 months as opposed to doing it in 12 months to attain this goal? Most likely that answer, too, would be yes. Well, how about doing 500 action steps instead of the 10 months? Could we do it in 9 months or maybe 8 months and so on? Of course, we can only take this illustration so far, but hopefully the point is well made. By staying extra focused, we may be able to accomplish our goals in a third to a half the amount of time. So this specific goal that we accomplished in 12 months, we might be able to accomplish it in 9 months. Something quite coincidental just happened to me only a few moments ago. Our offices are right by the airport, and my brother just visited me for a little bit, and he left the office, and as he left the office, he drove by the airport, and he made a phone call to tell somebody here in the office, because I wasn't available, I'm here in the studio, left a message with them to tell me that there's a certain type of helicopter that I've been flying around lately. One of those just landed at the airport right across the street. So that person came in and asked me if I wanted to go with them across the street to look at this helicopter. Oh, I wanted to do that very much, but I had to decline. Why? I've got to stay focused and get this done. Especially that this is the exact thing we're talking about here, staying focused. Maybe I'll try to go over there during a break. Now let's go to our workbook again. We're going to fill in the blanks in the sentence just below our exercise that we're going to do in a little bit on page 1 of session 4. And I'll give you time to finish that exercise in a moment. Meet me where it begins, reading with the words, by consciously. That blank is going to be the word consciously. Ready? By consciously, C-O-N-S-C-I-O-U-S-L-Y, by consciously acknowledging what causes us to get sidetracked, fill in that blank there with the word tracked, T-R-A-C-K-E-D, and working on these specific things, we are able to maximize, put the word maximize there, we're able to maximize our time and attain our goals in less time than planned. Word less goes in that next blank, L-E-S-S. Let me read that again. By consciously acknowledging what causes us to get sidetracked and working on these specific things, we will be able to maximize our time and attain our goals in less time than planned. Now, of course, I think we all know this logically, but it's hard to put it into practice when we really feel the need to take that distracting break. We'll justify it in any way we can. Oh, I've been working all day. I need a break. And the excuses just start pouring out. You know what I'm talking about. But by identifying these distracting ways and working on mastering them, we truly do maximize our time. And if we convert that precious time into staying focused, we'll take more action. And in turn, it will get us to the next level quicker. So let's continue to fill in the blanks on the next statement. Before we get to that next statement, here's a question for you. So how do we attain our goals in less time? Well, here's the answer. The statement goes like this. We don't necessarily have to spend more time, fill in that blank with more and then the word time. We don't necessarily have to spend more time working on a goal. A lot of people think if we want to get to that next level, we want to really attain things, we have to spend more time doing it. There's some truth to that depending on what the goal is, but we don't necessarily always have to spend more time. We'll continue with the next sentence. But the time, that next blank is the word time again. But the time we do spend must be maximized. M-A-X-I-M-I-Z-E-D. But the time we do spend must be maximized. Taking as many action steps in a shorter span of time. Taking as many action steps. In other words, we got to follow through in a shorter span of time. Yes, this is how you attain your goals in less time. Let me repeat this. It's very important. We don't necessarily have to spend more time working on a goal, but the time we do spend must be maximized. Taking as many action steps in a shorter span of time. Now let's take time to go to the top of page 1 and write down what it is that gets you off of focus. Complete this exercise now. Stop your CD.
Now let's go to the next statement on your page there from session 4. The next time you get off, that's the blank, fill in the word off. The next time you get off of focus, try identifying the blank blank. Try identifying the real reason for doing so. Let me repeat that. The next time you get off of focus, try identifying the real reason for doing so. So many times at the end of the day, we look back at the day and we feel like we've accomplished nothing. Why is that? Because we get off of focus. We can look back at the reasons we got off of focus. Maybe we could look at, you know, we got distracted on the internet. We got distracted on some family issues. We got distracted on some phone calls, whatever it is. But here's the key. Why did you really get off of course? Was it really those distractions? Let me give you an illustration. Let's say we're in a boat together. And you look at me and say, Gary, why are we sinking? And I look back at you and I reply, because we're taking on water. Now, that may be true, but what is the real reason that we're sinking? It's not necessarily the fact that we're taking on water. Yes, we do have water in the boat because the water is heavy, the boat is sinking, but the real reason is we forgot to put the drain plug in when we got in the boat. The key is if we could solve the drain plug problem, we won't take in water. So what's the point? The point is, all right, we've identified what your focuses are. We've identified the things that cause you to get off of focus. That really is not the real reason. What you've written down here, the things that cause you to get off of focus, that's the water in the boat. What we've got to do now, we've got to figure out, why did that water get in the boat? Why did you get off of focus? It's because we forgot that drain plug. So let's go to the next question or statement or sentence on your page. The answer might be found on your what? On your drain plug. What's your drain plug? Write the word evaluation. Ah, the evaluation. From where? Lesson one. So here's the key. Often, when we get off of focus, we don't stop to analyze the real reason we got off of focus. So next time you get off of focus, that's why it's important for you to identify it. You want to know when it's happening. You want to figure out and ask yourself, what's the real reason for doing this? Why am I really getting off of focus? It's not necessarily because the kids are making noise. You could use the excuse of the kids making a noise, going out there and then taking more time than you really need to quiet them down and do whatever it is you need to take. So what we're actually doing, if we're not careful, we're using that as an excuse. If we go back to our lesson one, our evaluation, we might find, because as we're working toward our goals, that you know what, things aren't going the way I want them to. Oh, I feel like giving up. And instead of wanting to really acknowledge and admit that, what do? We allow ourselves to fill the boat up with water. We allow ourselves to get easily distracted. So think about that next time. The next time you start getting off of focus, try to stop right there. Be honest with yourself and say, okay, why am I getting off of focus? What's the real reason? And it's not the internet, usually. It's not the phone calls or the distractions. There is a reason we're allowing those distractions to get deeper and deeper and worse. When we feel this way and we can't really find that exact reason and we're really looking for that reason, we go back to lesson one and we go through all these different things that we've written down in lesson one, and many times you'll find your answer there. So you've got to be honest with yourselves. You've got to realize that the only way you're going to identify this clearly is truly be honest with yourself. Then you can understand using all these reasons to get off of focus because of something that's on lesson one. That's why it's so important to know what your lesson one is and have that evaluation filled out very extensively and stay focused with it. Now, let's go ahead and go to our second page that you've printed out. That is the goal setting part, setting the goal, all right? So we want to go to setting the goal, lesson four.
It's me back in the studio. Now, remember, every time we talk about the setting the goal part, that's your cue to go to the back of your workbook and continue where you previously left off from the previous session. Now, let's listen in.
In the last several lessons, we've done number one and number two. Today for session four, we're at number three. Blank, blank, I attain this goal. So let's fill in the blanks. Why must I attain this goal? Why must I attain this goal? It's obviously very important for us to have a why. But friends, that is not enough. It takes more than knowing why you want to attain a goal. Perhaps the number one pitfall that many people use in trying to help others reach their goal, which doesn't work, is what I'm about to share with you. And if you're the person that mentors other people, you may be teaching them wrong, so you really want to listen up on this one. Here we go. Again, we're going to figure out, why must I attain this goal, but is that enough? And I'm going to tell you that's not enough. Let's go to the next sentence. We're going to get into that a little deeper here. I tell you what, before we go into this sentence, let me share something with you. Let us say that I take a group of 1,000 people that want to quit smoking, and I have another group over here of 1,000 people that want to make more money. And I say to all those people, I say, okay, I would like you all to have a reason why you want to quit or why you want to make more money. Show of hands, how many of you have a reason? I'll pretty well guarantee that just about 99.99% of everybody in that room will have a reason. Then I say to them, okay, here's a piece of paper. Write down your reason for wanting to quit smoking, or write down your reason for wanting to make more money. How many people do you think will have a reason? I'd be willing to bet, if I was a betting man, that just about every single person, everybody in that group, could have a reason why they want to make a change. Sad to say, why is it that a majority of them will not change? Now remember, they all have a reason why. And the reason I'm getting at this is because I've heard so many people, they'll say to other people, here's the pitfall here, they'll say to them, and they mean well, they're trying to help them, they say to them, what is your why? Why do you want to attain this goal? You've got to have a reason why. Okay, now what? So we've already proved that 1,000 of these people who want to quit smoking, or 1,000 of these people who want to increase their income and make more money, they all have a reason why. But we also know that a majority of them are not going to attain the goals. Why? And they all have a why, so it takes more than that. Before I answer that, let me go a step further. Let's go to the next sentence in our paper here, in our page, in our session four. Who may have the greater odds of attaining their goals? The person with many reasons, that's the fill in the blank spot there, the person with many reasons, or the person with only, fill in the blank, one or two? Let me repeat that. Who may have the greater odds of attaining their goals? The person with many reasons, or the person with only one or two? Now, before we answer that, let's go to the next sentence. Having reasons, fill in the blank, why, having reasons why I want to attain my goals is not enough to make me, the two blanks, follow through. Let me repeat that. Having reasons why I want to attain my goals is not enough to make me follow through. So what will? Now, I asked the question earlier, who has the greater odds of attaining a goal? The person who has many reasons why they want to, or a person who has one or two? Most people will probably say, well, obviously the person who's got many, many reasons. But that is not necessarily the answer. Here is the answer. The answer is, the reason, you'll want to jot this down, fill in the blank here, write this all down, here we go. The reason or value that I put on my why is what's ultimately important. Let me repeat that. The reason or value that I put on my why is what's ultimately important. Interesting. So it has nothing to do with how many whys you have. In fact, it really has nothing to do, to a certain degree, if you have a why. Why? Because if you don't have a value, or that why means nothing to you, it will not give you the push to keep going forward. So if you ask somebody, what's your why, and they give you an answer, if that's not a strong value to them and the reason isn't high enough, they can sit there till they're blue in the face and give you reasons why they want to quit smoking, or why they want to join with you, or why they want to increase their income. And unfortunately, because a lot of people teach that, tell me what your why is, they get an answer from the person, and the person says, well, it's because I want to do this or that or this or that. And they're just satisfied with that answer now. They say, okay, good, you got a why. Well, if that's all we needed, everybody would succeed at everything they do if they just wrote down a why. The key is, friends, it doesn't matter how many whys you have. You can just have one. And you can have another person that's got 500. But again, it's the reason or the value that I put on my why. That is what's ultimately important. You must remember that. But here's the key now. What if they don't have a strong enough why? Or what if they don't even have a why? What do we do? Do we write them off? Absolutely not. Here's what's interesting. If you've ever seen any of my programs where I do my four-step process where I reprogram or recondition somebody on stage, you'll often find when I bring that person on stage, I will ask them, why do you want to change this behavior? And you will find that they will look at me and say, I don't really want to do it. Or they'll come up with an answer, but it'll take them forever to figure out the answer. If their reason for their why is not strong enough, it does give me a sign. It's a measuring rod to me that I'm not going to the next step. They cannot go to the next level until they have a why that's strong enough. When a person hires me personally, the first thing I'll say to them, I'm going to assume you have a strong enough reason why you want to make change because that's why you hired me. And here's what I tell them after that, but I also want you to know that when you write down why you want to change this behavior, I'm going to let you know that as far as I'm concerned, it's just words on a piece of paper. See, when you look at it as words on a piece of paper, what you're telling yourself is, wait a minute, just because I have this on paper doesn't really mean that I value this reason as to why I want to make change. So if you go at it and say, well, wait a minute, it's on paper, but that doesn't mean anything yet. We've got to prove it. How do we prove it? Well, obviously, we're going to prove it by our action. Now, if you take a person that does not have a strong enough why, don't write them off. How do we know we shouldn't write them off? How many of you that are on this call right now, how many of you personally or know somebody that you have attained a certain level of success, little or great, and before you attain that level of success, you never thought you could? Because you may have thought, you know, I don't have a strong enough reason. And maybe your reason wasn't strong enough then, your belief wasn't strong enough then. But I tell you what, right now, because you've attained a certain level or levels of success, your why is even stronger. So what happened to your why? It got stronger. So what that tells us then is our whys can get stronger as we continue to go along. So how do we do that? How do we get these whys to get stronger? So you take a person and you ask them, why would you want to get involved in this? Well, I don't really know. Okay, that doesn't mean we're going to write them off. It just means we got to stop. We've got to stop right here and help them out. Here's a couple suggestions I might want to share with you as to how to help a person develop a stronger why. Basically, the answer comes from your ability to reason with them. You've got to reason with them. So to reason with them, you have to really be a strong communicator. The two things really go hand in hand. Example, if you found a person that you're wanting to help with their goals and you say to them, why would you want to do this? Why would you want to make this goal a reality? And they say to you, well, you know, I don't know. I would just like a better life for my family. Now, do they sound very convincing? Maybe you'd want to hear, you know, I'm really sick and tired of living this way. I've been living this way for years, and I've had enough. I've had enough. Enough is enough. That might sound a little bit more convincing, something you might be more applicable to buying, if you will. But if you have that person that says, well, you know, I'm really not sure, and they're kind of back and forth, that's a clue. By just watching how they're saying it, their body language, it's kind of your clue to let you know that, you know what, maybe they're really not that interested, or their why isn't strong enough. So what you're going to have to do now, you're going to have to do your part to help them increase that why. How are we going to do that? We're going to do that by learning how to reason with them. We're going to reason with them in several ways. One of the things that we're going to do to reason with them is we're going to try to show them the difference in their lifestyle now and what it could be. Now, we don't want to go with, oh, you can have the jet and the house and the car and the this and the that. You're going to just show them little things along the way. For example, you're going to show them that, hey, you know, it's very possible for you to make an extra $1,000 a month or an extra $500 a month. Would that help you? A lot of times, it's hard for people who are not into personal growth, who are new to developing themselves, to really see the big picture. For some people, it can really scare them. They're just thinking about, how am I going to pay my bills this week? And all of a sudden, we want to try to give them this massive picture. We're going to scare them. So what we have to do is slowly help them develop that why until they start seeing the picture. How do you know they're seeing the picture? You can hear it in their voice. You can watch it in their steps. You can see it. It's there. And you've done it yourself. I'm sure you've had a point in your life, whether it be now or sometime in the past, that you know you didn't feel so strong about your ability to make your goals happen, and as a little something happened, you got stronger and stronger as you started talking to more people. That's another thing that you can do too. Have them talk to more people. Have them talk to people that were in their situation and how they got out of it and where they're at now. These are ways that we can use to increase or strengthen our why. So remember, having a why is not good enough. Just don't even ask yourself or somebody else, what's your why? Yes, it's important. You need to know that. But how strong is it? Just as much as you can love somebody. If I said, hey, give me a person that you love, and you say, okay, it's Betty. My question to you is, could you love Betty more than you love her now? What would be the answer? Yes. Okay, you increase your love for Betty. Now that you've taken it to the next level, could you increase it even more? The answer would be what? Yes. And it keeps growing. It's infinite, if you will. Your why is the same way. And the why can grow and get stronger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And sometimes the why dives down. Sometimes it goes back up. Sometimes it goes back down. Now, when your why is really high, what can happen to cause it to get very low? Well, what can cause it to get really low is your lack of belief, stress. Let me tell you, stress is a big killer of your why. I'll see a lot of people, they have a good, strong why. They get off of focus emotionally, mentally, financially, and they get wrapped up into this thing called life. And as they get so wrapped up into it, they have forgotten why they want to attain their goals. Because they've allowed the stress, they've allowed the external stimuli of the pain of life sometimes, maybe some negative situations in their life. They've allowed all this stuff to suppress their why. And that is why it's important to have our goals in front of us, because when we get suppressed by some of this external stimuli, and we're all prone to it, it's part of being human, but when we get suppressed by some of this external stimuli, we've got to constantly be reminded why we're doing this. Because if we don't, we'll slow down. We'll forget, and we'll really get sidetracked. And before you know it, we're off in many, many different tracks before we realize that we're really off. We're like that boat again that's just drifting and drifting and drifting before we see that, wait a minute, we're really, really off of course. So that's something that you want to think about. So back to setting the goal. Why must I attain this goal? So I encourage you to do some real soul searching. Figure out what your goals are. And as you're working on these goals, why must you attain this goal? Don't just jot something down right away. Think about it. Is it a real good, strong reason? Are you making it a must? Not just a why, but why must you do this? You've got to do it. Why must you do it? Take some time and write it down. And remember, you may only have one reason, and that's good enough. That is more than enough. I remember years ago talking to a gentleman who was smoking cigarettes. He was really bothered by the smoking of the cigarettes. He wanted to quit, and he tried for years. Nothing could make him quit. But one day, he just walked by his little daughter's bedroom, and I think she was like 5 years old, and she had just a little marking pen or a little crayon in her fingers like she was smoking a cigarette, brought it up to her mouth as if she was like Daddy, and that's all Daddy needed to see. He quit that very day. For some people, that'll work. For other people, it won't work. But that was enough of a why for him to quit and attain his goal. So analyze and go in deep to figure out what your why is. Well, let's go to the next step. The next step is imaginary motivation. We're going to fill in the blank there with the word imaginary. What is imaginary motivation? Imaginary motivation is the ability to imagine specific situations. Either, here's a neat term here, either negative or positive, either one, fill in the blank there, either negative or positive, that if they were to actually happen, fill in the word happen there, if they were to actually happen, they would change your circumstances in such a way that you would fill this in immediately, come up with new plans of action, and implement them. Okay, a little lengthy. Let me go over it again with you. Imaginary motivation is the ability to imagine specific situations, either negative or positive, that if they were to actually happen, they would change your circumstances in such a way that you would immediately come up with new plans of actions and implement them. Now, this takes some imagination, and it takes a little bit of effort and work to really get into this mentality. Let me explain it a step further. A lot of people have goals, especially those that are in your industry. They have a lot of goals, but a lot of people are very, very complacent. They say they want to make more money, but they're at a certain level and they've been there for years. Well, if they could use imaginary motivation and knew how to really tap into it, they could really get off their tush and make things happen. So how would we do that? See, unfortunately, some people want to get involved here, and they want to really make the best of it, and they want to increase their income and have a better life. But, you see, they're really complacent. Why? Because subconsciously, they're relying on that other paycheck from their job. So imaginary motivation would be like this. Okay, I'm going to imagine that I lost this job, and I cannot go looking for another job. What would I do now? And then come up with the answers. Well, I would go a little faster toward these goals because I've got bills coming in. I'm going to make things happen. I'm going to talk to this person. Now I'm going to go to this person. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this, and write it all down. See, I know for a fact there are people that are very, very, very successful. And the reason they're successful is because they didn't use imaginary motivation. Somebody actually forced them out of a job and fired them, or their company closed down. And because of that, it forced them to work toward their goal. But here's the key. Let's not wait till we lose the job. Why don't we use imaginary motivation now and pretend as if we did? And if we did, what would you do? And then write it down and see what you can do to implement those things. Now, here's another thing. When something good or bad happens to you, learn to identify it. If something good or bad happens to you, learn to identify it. Specifically, if either one of these things, the good or bad, causes you to move forward and take action toward your goals. Here's what happens to me a lot, especially years ago when I really started trying to master personal growth. I would try to figure out ways to push myself, motivate myself to go forward. And I realized that sometimes I would wake up, get into the office, do certain things, and I would just be pumped and excited. And I would have to stop and think about it. Okay, what caused me to get this excitement that made me take all this action toward my goals? And I figured out what they were. They were just little things. It could have been a sale. It could have been somebody, you know, was favorable to what I shared with them, whatever. If that moves you, what you need to do is imagine that it happened not just now. Imagine it happened a month ago or 5 months ago. What you did, you allowed something good or something negative to move you. Let's say it literally happened. What you want to do is figure out what these things are that literally happen that cause you to get motivated. Then you want to imagine, hey, let's imagine if this happened to me 5 months ago. So now you can start learning this process. Then you can say now, let's imagine this or that happens to me now, and it may happen to you 3 months from now and really motivate you then, but why wait 3 months from now? Why can't we use imaginary motivation now to see if we can get ourselves forced to move and to take action? This takes some work. It takes some planning mentally to learn and to master this. But let me tell you, there's always something that can move or motivate you. There's always something out there. Unfortunately, a lot of us just sit around if we're not careful, and we'll just wait. And we'll wait to figure out what it's going to be. And then all of a sudden something happens, good or bad, and we go, oh my goodness, I got to move. Well, the time to move is not waiting for the reality of it. The time to move is put it in that imaginary motivation bank. And every time you use imaginary motivation, remember, when you think about, let's say, hey, if I lost my job, what would I do? Just don't say, well, what would I do? Say, what would I do? And then start coming up with answers. And write them down, and write them down. Specific things, specific step-by-step things that you would do that you could take action on right now and get you closer to your goals. You'd be surprised how powerful imaginary motivation is. When we started with lesson one, throughout our 12 sessions, we're going back to lesson one, and we're taking a couple of the evaluation questions or statements, and we're going over them each lesson as we go through these 12 lessons or sessions. The next two that we want to talk about is, and this is on your page again, how much do I believe in my product or services? I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that because that's really tangible and I think that's common sense. We see how important this is. We really have to believe in what we're doing. We have to believe in our product or services. If it's a specific goal, a big dream, you have to believe in it. If you don't believe in it, you're going to have a hard time getting a spark. Now let's go to the next one. I think this one is really, really important. Grade my ability to delay, fill in the blanks, instant gratification. Grade my ability to delay instant gratification. That's so important. Unfortunately, so many people are under the mentality that they have to have it now, 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 now. I would like that too. We all would like to have it now, 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 now. But unfortunately, if we really take that mentality and apply it to everything in our life, we're going to have some problems. The biggest setback with having this mentality that you have to have instant gratification is that you're not going to be willing to pay the price. And we'll be talking about that later on throughout the program. But if you're the type of person that has to have instant gratification now, 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 you're not going to be willing to pay the price. Why is that a problem? Well, the reason that's a problem is I haven't met too many people that are very, very successful in life, in business or in anything, that haven't paid a price. These two things are important together. You have to understand them. If you're the type of person that has to have instant gratification, how are you going to be willing to pay the price? The price for many of us is going to be very large. Some small, some large. A lot of it's going to be dependent on your goal. How did you grade your ability to delay instant gratification? If you were a 3 or a 4, we really need to work on that. Were you a 9 or a 10? How do you know how to really grade that and give yourself an evaluation? Well, basically, ask yourself, can I see myself succeeding or attaining a specific goal 3 years from now? 5 years from now? And then as you're looking out 5 years from now and 6 years from now, you're realizing that it's not going to be a cakewalk. There's going to be struggles. There's going to be trials. There's going to be some really major hurdles that you're going to have to jump and go through. Stop and think about what it takes to have the vision to build a hotel, you know, a skyscraper. If you started today with a vision, let's say you even had the money. Let's say you actually had the money to build a skyscraper. You're looking at something that is going to take maybe 5 to 10 years from now. That's a big vision. You've got to realize that if you're going to make this big vision happen, that you're not going to make any money right now because this skyscraper, this hotel, or this building has to be built. It's going to take 10 years before you're going to get any income off of it before somebody can go in and rent space from you. You cannot be wrapped up in this, I got to have it now, I got to have it now. But imagine if you can hang in there 5 years from now or 10 years from now, the type of income that you could generate. So this is basically a sample or an example or an illustration of why it's important to learn how to delay that instant gratification. Look for different things in your daily life and your daily routine to see if you're really caught up in this instant gratification. If you're not willing to pay the price, it may be a sign that you really want that instant gratification. So here's what I want you to do. The next time you get frustrated, the next time you feel like quitting, the next time you feel like just throwing in the towel, remember that's part of what? Paying the price. And you have to understand that, look, I've got to handle this. I've got to learn this because this is part of paying the price. And I have to learn to delay this instant gratification. I can't get it right now. I'm going to have to wait till later on. Okay? So let's do a quick review of what we talked about in this lesson. We talked about here in session 4 the things that we have to do with regards to identifying how we get off of focus. Learn to identify how you get off of focus. I want you to identify specific things on a day-to-day basis that you do as you try to work toward your goals that cause you to get off of focus. Remember, don't be that kitty, kitty, kitty. Don't get so easily distracted. We talked about the importance also of, yes, we need to have a why, but beyond just having a why, we want to make sure we have a strong reason behind that why, or we have a high value on it. If the reason or the value is low, we can have all the whys in the world. They're not going to do anything for us. So remember, having a why is good, but it takes more than that. We need to learn to identify, even within ourselves, how strong our why is. So learn to identify how strong your why is. How can you do that real quickly? You do that by the action you take. If you say that I want to quit doing this or quit doing this, and oh man, this is my why and it's real to me, but you don't do anything in harmony with that goal, that's words on a piece of paper. That's how you separate the people who are really serious about their why and those who are not. Use it as a measuring rod. So if you have a reason why you want to attain your goals and you don't seem to be following through, don't give up. Just tell yourself, wait a minute, this is just basically a signal that I may not be as serious about setting this goal as I say I am. I really need to go in deep and start figuring things out and really strengthen my reason why. We also talked about imaginary motivation. Try to master imaginary motivation to look to the future to see what you could do to force yourself to make changes. And when you write these changes down, these specific action steps that you have to do and to implement to make changes, make sure you try to follow through on them. All right, everybody, that's our lesson four. And I tell you, this time goes by really quickly. I want to thank everybody again for their time.
Well, that concludes session four's call, but we're not done yet. We're going to now listen in on two other conversations where people had the opportunity to work with me one-on-one as we talk more about learning to stay focused.
Okay, let's go to Luann and Mike. Do you have your email with you?
Actually, Gary, I didn't save email, but I know kind of what I asked you unless you want to read it.
Go ahead. Fire away, Luann. Let's go ahead and give me the gist of it.
Okay. Well, what I was asking you was, for myself in particular, how do you stay fueled on a daily basis when you have to worry about things that have to be taken care of that day? In other words, you know, like I told you, we've had some issues in the past year. So it's like if you have bills you have to pay that day, so they have obligations that day, and you're so concerned about those,
right,
that
it's hard to stay focused.
It's hard to stay focused, and it's extra hard to stay fueled.
Right.
And so my question was, what suggestions you might have for somebody that wakes up with that in the morning?
Okay.
You can do all that I feel great stuff, in which does help, but it still
doesn't last long, does it?
No.
It's like spray paint on rust. It doesn't last long.
Right.
Luann, I think what's important to understand is that question can be really honed in on and answered by going back to some of the things on the evaluation of the program. For example, how strong is my belief to make this goal happen? Because, again, it's back to that domino effect that we talk about, right? If all the dominoes are in line, then all you have to do is touch one, but you pull one out of place, and you're going to stop right before or right at where it was pulled out of place. If you have that strong belief, and we'll continue to talk about it in the program, how do we keep creating those beliefs? But if your belief is strong, when you get up and feel like, you know, oh man, the dream has just been smothered, the fuel is just not there, that belief is what sparks you. So if you don't have the belief, you're going to have a hard time getting the spark. This is where all this comes together. That's why lesson one is so important, because we have to evaluate the internal stuff. Basically, the goal setting, it's kind of like the external stuff. And it's nice and all, but if we don't have that internal stuff, it's not going to happen. And that's what we have to keep focusing on. Another thing, too, we just talked about is, you know, when we get weighed down with all this junk, the I guess call it life, if you will, if we're not careful, it will weigh us down. And we get off of focus. So when we get off of focus, what do we mean? What do we specifically do to show that we're off of focus? And everybody needs to identify what it means when they get off of focus. Some people just start going on the internet forever, and they get sidetracked, and they click here, which takes them over here and takes them over here, and they go on and on and on and on, and that, you know, they lose an hour there, or they start, you know, worrying more about it, then that makes them talk to somebody, and they have to complain to them, and so on and so on. So each person needs to identify, when you're off of focus, what do you do? I have specific things that I do that tell me, whoa, wait a minute, I'm off of focus. And I know exactly what they are. I'd recommend that you write them down. And the moment you start doing them, you need to consciously tell yourself, oops, got off of focus. So if I want to get back on focus, what do? Stop whatever it is I'm doing on that piece of paper.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yes.
Give that a try. Does that help out a little bit?
Yes, and I do know what I do when I get off focus.
Tell me what you do.
I sit and start doing numbers and thinking about where I should be and
making it worse than it really could be, maybe.
Right.
I used to have a big problem with that, and I still have a challenge with that. If I look at the numbers, you know, you can get so discouraged. But, you know, be careful of that, because remember, it's a journey, not a destination.
Okay.
All right? So stay on top of it. Stay focused. Good question, Luann. I appreciate that. Kelly, let's pick on you a little bit.
Okay. I'm ready.
All righty. All right, Kelly, we've got Kelly from New Hampshire. Tell me a little bit about your question, what you've got going on, Kelly.
Okay, well, where I am is I think that everything is clashing together with me. My passions are all about, you know, helping people, being involved with people, my family, mostly, you know, spirituality, mostly people and community-oriented. And the fuel, I think I have trouble identifying it. I'm kind of in it, like, you know, my fuel are the people around when I see them, and I want to spend time with them, and I have, you know, business, and I'm in a... you know, a place in my business that's very busy with a lot of different things going on. And I think that it's hard to put into words, but that, you know, it's all clashing together, and it's kind of, some of it becomes a distraction. And I've been in a stuck spot for a bit of time, and I'm very passionate about what I'm doing and where I'm going.
Okay.
And my evaluation, I have a lot of high scores, and I even got feedback, so I was honest with myself. And
okay.
I'm a very driven person, passionate about helping people, and I can't seem to make a connection between the fuel and the passions and get it so that I can make myself more productive.
Okay, you've got some words there that I'm going to challenge you on, and I'm not sure if I buy them.
Okay.
All right.
Sure.
You say you're very driven.
Yes.
I think your definition of driven and my definition might be different.
Okay.
Keep in mind, you can be driven, but be driving down the wrong road.
Yeah.
So
I
you
think I fight going down the wrong road.
Okay. You get a car that's got a lot of horsepower, and you turn the wheel all the way to the right and hold it down to the right and give it full throttle, punch it to the floor, it's just going to keep going in circles. It's driven, but it's doing it in circles.
Right.
If you feel that you're so driven, take that drive and make sure you're channeling it correctly.
Okay.
So what or how do we define channeling it correctly?
Right.
Well, correctly would be whatever your goals are. If your goals are to do specific things A, B, and C, well, make sure you're not driving over it, you know, X, Y, Z. You've got to focus on specifically driving that passion and that driven attitude specifically to your goals. A lot of people are just, you know, exciting people, but they're just, you know, running around like a chicken without their head. They're moving, but they're not moving in the right direction. So you might want to take some time and analyze your direction. Are you moving in the right direction?
Okay.
Am I maybe hitting something, maybe?
Yes, combined with what you just spoke with, the focus hit home with me, too.
Okay.
I think that's my problem is in the middle. Like, the drive is there, the goals are there, and it's that middle piece that's something I guess I need help maybe.
Okay, let me stop you there, then. You said that your atmosphere is very, very busy.
Very.
Can we change that? If not now, let's make it a goal to change that.
Right.
See, I remember I used to have a little office. Oh, my goodness. I don't know how small. It was pretty tiny. And I used to have a secretary in my office, which was very, very distracting. I could hardly close my door because I could hear other people anyway. I mean, it just got to be ridiculous. But I knew sooner or later that would change. Maybe not now, and that was just part of the price I had to pay.
Right.
My ultimate goal was to eventually get out of there, and I was there for years. I hate to admit it, but I was there for a while. So the key is for you, if you know you need to get out of there, get out of that environment or change the environment, and it's not in your power to do that right now, make sure you make it a goal to do so. And your goal now is to work toward getting to the point where you can get less and less distracted and make that change.
Right.
And if you can't do it right away, then you have to live with it, and then you have to be even that much more focused.
Okay.
Until you can work toward changing that completely. And when you do, and believe me, the quicker you do, the quicker you'll get closer to your goals, because that is probably so distracting to you. The moment you try to focus on something, it's just like when somebody interrupts me in my office. And it's just a little thing, but it's not just a 3-second interruption to say, do you want this? It's now you've broken my trend of thought. Now we've taken the 3 seconds, okay. Now I've got to figure out, where was I again? So I've just lost maybe 2 or 3 minutes.
Right, yeah. That's right where I am. And it is a decision I made, but I guess I was a little frustrated with knowing that I might have to put up with this for a little while. But making that one of my priority goals is probably what I have to do.
Very good. So just don't give up on that. Just stick with it. And keep in mind, sometimes it takes months. Sometimes it takes years, guys. I mean, I've been doing this a long time, and every level that I get to, it's taken me sometimes, you know, a couple years to get to one level. Other levels, it's taken me years and years and years. But the thing is, you've got to be like that stamp. You have to stick to one thing. So hang in there, and it's a challenge. And when you continue to be more successful financially, you'll get a whole, you know, another group of challenges. But you've got to learn to handle these challenges to handle the other challenges just as well. Does that help out, Kelly?
Very much. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for participating. I really appreciate it, okay? Keep up the good work.
All right.